might have to put things together. So God had a purpose for the order that he did things in, and he wanted to show that it wasn't necessary for physical things to exist, for light to exist, that he is the one who created the light. And it brings us to our next point then. It was good. The Bible says that God saw the light that he had created was good. He saw that. Say, well, what do you mean? He created it. It was good, right? Well, another reason. When you read your Bibles, you have to always go, if something doesn't quite, why is that there? There's a reason. There is a reason for it being there. And the Bible says God saw the light that he created was good. And the Hebrew word that is translated saw is speaking of looking at or observing something. It implies that the thing he observed was external to himself. In other words, God is not part of his creation. Okay? The New Agers like to say God is everything and everything is God. But no, the Bible tells us right here in Genesis chapter 1 that God was not part of his creation. God was observing his creation out here, but he's not part of his creation. He was able to observe the light just as I might be able to observe something that I have made. When I make something, it's here. It's not inside me. I'm not part of it. And then the third point is also very important, is that it was separated. This is something that is very rarely talked about today in churches. In fact, there has been a move since what is called new evangelism or new evangelicalism came into existence around 1948, I believe it was. There's been a move away from biblical separation. But here we have separation in the Genesis account of the creation itself. God separated the light from the darkness. And it tells us that there's a reason why it says that, why it shows us that it's separated, that it says he divided the light from the darkness. Why would that be necessary? Why has God got that in the Bible? Wouldn't that just be a given? There's a reason for it. He separated the light from the darkness. Now think about this. When we turn on a light in a room, it lights the entire room. You can't bring a light into a dark room and cause it only to be seen in half the room. When God said, "Let there be light," the darkness was dispelled by the light, and it was everywhere. Now, some try to explain this separation thing by, well, you know, the earth, it was on one side only, and so on. But when God created the light, remember, we didn't have a sun and the moon and the stars to be only on one side of the earth. God created the light, period. God caused it to be light. But now he's divided the light. He's separated it. We can imagine this again, the separating the light from the darkness. You've got a room that's lit up. And imagine now that you've got one of those heavy curtain dividers, and you pull that curtain divider right across the room, and the light is on the other side of that divider. Now you've got darkness on one side and light on the other, don't you? Because the light is only on the one end. You've divided it, and you've got darkness now. God separated the light such that the earth that he had just created and brought light to had both light and dark. And this is before the sun and the moon and the stars. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Now, once again, God had a purpose in separating the light from the darkness. And God could have created the earth in such a way that it was brightly lit all the time. He could have. But he did not. In separating the light from the darkness, he gave us a twofold picture, another picture. God has shown us so much, and he has demonstrated who he is in so many things. And the Bible tells us that the things that are made speak of him loudly. There's no excuse for people who can't see God, because everything that he has done speaks of him. Amen? That's the way God has created everything. He's done it for a reason. And he had a purpose in separating the light from the dark. First of all, when we repent, putting our faith in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, God separates us from the darkness we are in. God does that, just like he did when he separated the dark from the light. He separates us from the darkness we were in when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." That's talking to Christians. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. That's what God has done, has brought us out of darkness into the light. Then God calls us to live separated lives as Christians. There's another separation there. We are to live separated lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Again, light, separated. And finally, we are to be separated from the world around us, a world that is already walking in darkness. Christians are not to live like the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Separation. God has shown this separation from the beginning by his creation itself. Now, this was a 24-hour day. This is our next point, a 24-hour day. Again, very important. 24 hours, not ages. The separation of day and night began the cycle of days on earth. The very first day began with darkness, the evening, followed by light, the morning. And this is the way the Hebrew division of time is described, just as we would say day and night, except that it's reversed. And it always describes a 24-hour period. And why is it reversed? Because the Hebrews had a connection from the beginning to the creation itself. It's never changed. And they've always said night followed by day, or evening, then morning, to describe a 24-hour period. Very important. It's not by accident, as we've already mentioned, that evening came first. Remember, God began creation with darkness, followed by light. And it's a picture of us beginning in darkness, and that's followed by light when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We began physically in darkness in the womb, followed by light at birth. See that? Always. It all fits. It's all speaking loudly. It's talking about God. We began spiritually in the darkness of sin because of our very nature, followed by the light of salvation when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Darkness and light, darkness to light, darkness separated from light. See that? We're not even in past the first few verses of Genesis, and we're getting the gospel already. Isn't that something? It's there. The 24-hour days, so clearly described during the creation week, speak of the infinite power of God in creation. This is the other point about the 24 hours. It's unnecessary to help God with theistic evolution and long ages or anything else. It's not necessary. We do not need to help God. We do not need to give God lots of time to be able to do things. God can do things his way with his power. Creation was completed in exactly 24-hour days. Why would Christians try to give long ages when it's telling us 24-hour days? God, think about this. Think about this. If God can speak and create the vast universe that we have, why does he need more than 24 hours or 6 days to do anything? Now we come finally to the sun, moon, and stars. We're up to day 4. The Bible is very clear. God created the light before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And there's no ambiguity in the language. God created the earth and light on the first day, the firmament separating the water on the second day, which we will be talking about another time, the dry land and the plants on the third day, and only then on the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is something that secular science really pushes back against. Atheists push back. They mock us because of this. They are forgetting the very important fact that God is omnipotent. He doesn't need long ages. He doesn't need a source of light other than himself. The sun, moon, and stars were not necessary for the creation of life. God created the light simply by commanding it to happen on the first day. God himself is the source of light, and God always associates himself with light. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That is talking about God the Son, the Creator, we're told in John chapter 1. In him was light, or life, and that light was the life of men. God doesn't require physical bodies such as stars, planets, and satellites to create light. He doesn't need them. God is greater than this universe. God is filled with light. When God caused what is described as thick darkness in Exodus chapter 10, verse 22, to cover the land of Egypt, there is no light in any of the Egyptian dwellings. There was no light in the land of Egypt. God brought this, the Bible says, thick darkness. You know that you could not bring a light into a room in that darkness and light the room. It wouldn't work. You lit a candle, it wouldn't give any light. That was thick darkness. It's the only way that I can describe it. It was like almost like it was something. It wasn't just the air dark. It was like a thick darkness. It's like it was a blanket of darkness. It prevented any light whatsoever. And yet, at the same time that the Egyptians were in total darkness inside and out, the Hebrews had light. See that in Exodus chapter 10, 23, right after it said that there was no light in the Egyptian dwellings, that there was a thick darkness. In verse 23, it says, "They," and that's the Egyptians, "saw not one another." They couldn't see, period. "Neither rose any from his place for 3 days." So there was 3 days of this thick darkness. "But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." See that? God does not need the sun, moon, and stars to create light. That's what the Bible tells us. God doesn't need the sun, the moon, and the stars to give light. The sun and the moon and the stars were created on the fourth day for a reason. But it wasn't specifically to give light. They were created to distinguish day from night. They were given for signs, for seasons, for years, and it says to give light upon the earth. They weren't created to bring light into the world, but to give light upon the earth. So there was already light in the world, but they were brought to give light upon the earth, like a lamp would bring light to a room that's lit by a candle. Think about that. There's a bit of an example here. When you have a room, say we're in this room, it's nighttime, there's no light outside, it's a rainy night, like tonight will probably be, and the power is off. So we have a candle in the room. Is there light in the room? There is. And then the power comes on. Is there light in the room? There is, but there's more light, isn't there? But there was light in the room to begin with. It just wasn't as bright as it is now. These things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, weren't created specifically to bring light to a world that was dark. The Bible does say they were created to give light upon the earth. But they weren't the original light. There was light before they were created, because God brought that light. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit more, Lord willing, in further messages from Genesis. I hope that I can make it as plain and as simple as my simple mind will allow me to make it. But it's very, very interesting. Very, very intriguing. Read your Bible, study it, think about it. Read this passage, read Genesis chapter 1 over and over again prayerfully and get what you can out of it and ask God to teach you. There's a lot in there. I'm astonished. The more I dig, the more I find, the more astonished I am. God has actually shown me things in this study just from His Word without commentaries that I couldn't believe I've never seen before. And then I find out when I start looking that others have seen these same things. So it's not just me reading things in. It's amazing what there is that God has done in Genesis. It's astonishing. Very important. It is the foundation that our faith is built on is Genesis. Everything it explains, Genesis explains everything God did and why we need a Savior and what God has done about that. Everything is in this first book. Amazing. And in the first few chapters. Now, secular God-denying scientists, think about this. Secular God-denying scientists can't even explain where the material the Word is made of came from. They can't explain that. Yet they try to tell us that God didn't do it because there was no intelligent primary cause. That's what they want us to believe. Then they turn around and tell us, and this is their own words, I'm not making this up. They tell us that a very unstable nothing became everything. They've redefined nothing. Our own properly functioning minds tell us that such an idea is not even a good hypothesis. It's ludicrous. It can only be accepted by a deliberate act of the will by unregenerate human beings who will not even face the possibility that they one day might have to face their Maker. People don't want that to be true, so they would rather deny it. And that's a dangerous thing. That's like, not having a proper protection on a very flammable surface in front of your fireplace with no screen or anything else and knowing that it's probably going to burn you down, but just denying that it could happen until it's too late and it burns your house down. If there's something that's true, something that needs to be looked at or dealt with, you have to deal with it. You can't just pretend it's not there, but this is what unregenerate man does. You see what's going on in the world of politics right now and the incredible insanity that we're seeing, things that are mind-boggling. You know, the other day in a parliament in Europe somewhere, this is a parliament. These are their elected leaders in their country. And they didn't want a vote to happen, so somebody set off a tear gas bomb right in the parliament. One of the MPs. It's craziness what's going on. But this is unregenerate man. And it's satanic. And it is affecting everything. When you see people doing things and making decisions that make no sense and believing things that make no sense at all, be compassionate. And pray for them, because they can't see things that are very obvious. It's obvious that there must be a creator. Willing it not to be doesn't make it so, any more than willing something to be makes it so. You can't create your own reality. We're told that constantly now, that we can create our own reality. We're told that quantum mechanics and quantum theory tells us that we can. That's nonsense. That's Eastern mysticism. It's a willing ignorance of the truth. Using terms such as intelligent design or other attempts to sidestep facts doesn't take away from the fact that God is God and He exists by His own infinite power. God has revealed Himself in His creation, and He's shown us His infinite power, and He's revealed every detail that we need to know right in the creation itself. And then on top of that, He has personally revealed Himself to us in His Word. Amen. And by His Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no excuse for anyone to deny Him, and we will all indeed one day have to face Him. We all have to face God one day. all of us. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. In other words, you can't hide. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now that's saying we have to face him. That's what it's saying. We have to face him. We will either face him utterly naked before the awful great white throne of judgment, or if we have repented and put our faith in him, we will face him in the Son, and we will stand under the blood in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where you are, I hope. Praise God. Let's stand for prayer.
Well, that didn't record. That's a